I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Maureen Antunes. Joining me today, fabulous co-hosts.
Colleen, no fixed address.
Dale, digitaldoodles.com and group. No, Dale42 on Letterboxd.
And I'm the Maureen on Letterboxd. I totally forgot about that.
And I have a Letterboxd account. I just never update it, and I completely forgot what my name is on it.
We are, that's not helpful. I think, half friends now.
Half friends?
I friended you. Did you friend me? You must have friended me because I friended you.
I don't know.
Oh, and I don't even know if I friended you. We're not friends.
Oh my God.
We're not internet friends. It doesn't count for anything.
Whatever.
Real life. No, IRL doesn't. Is it? Yeah, IRL doesn't mean anything anymore if you're not friends online.
Is that like not teaching script in schools and parents freaking out because their kids can't sign their own name?
Yes, we had this conversation.
But they have a typing skill of 240 words per minute.
Yeah, hot
welcome
damn.
To the new age.
Pretty much. Coming to you from lovely Studio 42.
Studio 42.
In North Vancouver. I love that. I love saying that. Beautiful weather today. We got the windows open. It's like 32 outside. It's awesome. And we're inside talking about movies.
Yeah.
This is how awesome it is to be us. We missed last month. Just shit happened. And Colleen and I were going to record. And then I bailed because other shit came up. And
I did my homework.
Oh.
I was being best man at a wedding in Ireland.
I can't believe I totally phased about your trip to Ireland. I feel so bad. Oh my God.
I didn't realize it either. I know you had talked about it. I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's not involving me, so I'm just not going to listen to it. And then it involved me by you not being here. How dare you?
Yeah, how dare you, Dale?
Check my schedule.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't check with us. Actually, you did. So we just totally phased.
One of the coolest thing about the Irish, like how 6 year old is this? But they have these like rhyming name insult things for like all the statues around Dublin.
Okay.
So the Molly Malone statue, you know, cockles and muscles.
No.
Alive, alive, oh. Mm-hmm. She's the tart with the cart, or the trollop with the scallops. Who's that famous Bloomsburg author? James Joyce. There's a statue of James Joyce and he has a cane. He's a prick with a stick. They have this spire that they put up. It's just a big giant steel needle kind of thing. And it was supposed to be for the millennium, but it was late, like 3 years later. So I forget what they call it, but it's like the spire. That's the stiletto in the ghetto.
I love the Irish.
Oh, man.
I think I must be Irish back there somewhere. It's got to be.
I just kept laughing. I never did hear some of the ruder names, but.
Nice. So did you drink a lot?
Yeah. Irish wedding.
Nice.
I danced a lot, too. I danced so much I got shin splints.
Nice.
Really? I hope there's video.
Oh, God. I hope the video doesn't surface.
Lots of the chicken dance.
No chicken dance.
Excellent. That's already a plus for that wedding.
There was the Macarena.
Oh,
I think that's worse.
And then
worse.
It goes right back down.
And no, even worse. The chicken dance. Come on.
And there was an attempt at river dance.
Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Drunken river dance could be good.
This could be great. So... Stay tuned. If you want to buy a tape of Dale dancing, we will dig this shit up, man.
In a morning suit.
If not, I'll
in a even better.
Excellent.
This shit is so happening.
If not, I'll do a flipbook.
Yes.
And we can photograph the flipbook and Dale.
So just let us know if you're interested. We will make this shit happen. I am officially a gift maker. I've made a number of gifts now. It's kind of an addiction.
You are my new go-to person.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it, I got to admit. Now that I have the basics down, so when we were out, we still haven't talked about movies, but I have to tell the story. So when we were in, when we went camping last weekend, my camera has a setting that takes like continuous shots. So I had Dan, my partner, and Dave, my cousin. We were on the beach and they were standing on this log and they have these two big sticks. And they decide they're going to have a fight. And I'm like, oh my God, forget taping this. I'm going to take continuous shots and make a GIF. It is the greatest thing ever. It is so good. I'm so proud of myself.
A little bit of Photoshop, turn them into lightsabers.
This shit's going viral. This shit is so going viral. Okay, I'm not that good yet. But maybe we could find somebody that is. But we are here to talk July preview. Right into the middle of the summer. It seems like it really is to the point now where it's like one blockbuster a weekend. And if you don't succeed in that first weekend, you're screwed because the next batch is coming. We've kind of already seen that with Man of Steel. And I'm sure we're going to have a little bit of that this month as well. But let's kick right in with July 5th and probably one of the biggest movies of the summer. At least that's what they're calling it. I don't know how you can advertise the biggest movie of the blockbuster of the summer if you haven't even opened yet. But this is what I saw. I saw an ad over the weekend for this, and that's what they were advertising it as.
We have a dream.
We do, apparently. Disney has a lot of money in this shit, and it's The Lone Ranger, Johnny Depp, and Armie Hammer, who is really the only reason I would see this at this point. And directed by Gore Verbinski, the guy behind the Pirates movies and Rango.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on this?
I am really, really reserved. I mean, part of it wasn't a big thing when I was a kid, but I remember seeing enough episodes that I have this of the Lone Ranger TV mm-hmm. series, which, I mean, you know, was, I think, redone of the serials from the 50s or something. Like, it wasn't like it was great, but yeah. I still have this really clear vision of who the Lone Ranger is. And this movie does not capture that essence at all. But, I mean, having said that, it's like nobody or very few people going to it are even going to be aware that there was a TV series.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to keep an open mind, but I still, like, really, you had to get Johnny Depp to play Tonto? Like, you couldn't. There's a lot of great Native American actors.
It's Pirates of Arizona, damn.
Yeah, kind of felt like that.
Pretty much. That's totally what it's feeling like. I've seen maybe a handful of Lone Ranger episodes, but I don't have like any association with it beyond that, other than I know what it is, and I've seen like one or two episodes, but I'm just not.
I think the other thing, and this is where you can't tell from a trailer, but if it's just a whole bunch of like really 15-minute action sequences. I want at least a little bit of story, you know, and some dialogue that I can laugh at, like mm-hmm. not just action.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to tell from the trailers whether they really do have. There's one line in the whole thing that gave me a little bit
of hope,
and that was where the Lone Ranger goes, you know, if that's being an upstanding citizen, I'm happy being an outlaw or something like that. Yeah. And I thought, okay, you know, that's maybe there's going to be some interesting stuff happening there, but...
Well, I think Colleen nailed it. It's Pirates of the Caribbean in the Arizona desert.
It's just everything I've seen of Johnny Depp there, it is Captain Jack Sparrow. That's wearing Indian makeup kind of thing.
Yeah.
Has a funny accent, and now he's playing Rich... The guy from
The Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Oh, Keith Richards.
Yeah. Keith Richards, basically as an Indian, like whatever.
Yeah, and that's exactly my feeling. It feels very much like the Pirates movies, and I'm okay with that. I like the Gore Verbinski Pirates movies. They were fun.
I liked the first one.
Yeah, which is the one that he did. I don't know if he made any of the other ones. I'm assuming he did maybe the first two or three. I don't actually know. I didn't look it up. I know he did the first, but I don't know if he did anything else beyond that.
I was so dumb with the Pirates. I never did see the fourth one. And
they get progressively worse, so. Yeah.
He did Dead Man's Chest and At World's End.
So I don't know which ones those are.
That's the one where they go to Singapore, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think those were the first.
That's the one with the crazy Johnny Depp sort of like
I think you did the first three.
Purgatory yeah. kind of thing.
Which yeah. are fine. The first one is my favorite of the bunch. Yeah. But
to me, there's like only one.
Yeah.
The other two were...
Whatever. Yeah. They're whatever. But I mean, I just... I have... My only issue with it is I don't understand how it's okay for Johnny Depp to play an Indian, but we have issues with blackface. Like, the two things seem very similar to me.
Yeah. They're the same thing to me.
Yeah. Exactly. So... There has been some, I've seen some commentary on that, not as much as I thought there would be, maybe because it's Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
I think some of the defenses, he claims deep back, he actually was Aboriginal. I have no idea if he was or not, but you know what? Whatever. It's Johnny Depp. Anytime he even remotely puts on Indian face, it's going to be weird. Mm-hmm.
There's some movies where I'm okay with them doing like heavy makeup to do something, like the... Oh, why can't I remember the name of it? The one with like the four stories interwoven and a sequence in time with Tom Hanks. And
Cloud Atlas.
Cloud Atlas. I was perfectly fine in Cloud Atlas with them going fast and loose with race with the makeup just because of the nature of the story.
Yes.
And they made the Asian look like a white person. You know, it was like, it wasn't like they were picking on anyone.
Yeah.
It was in the service of the story.
Yeah, exactly.
And that I was perfectly fine with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I'm very sort of hands off on this one. I probably won't see it opening weekend, I don't think. Also opening on the 5th, Despicable Me 2. The Minions are back. I actually haven't seen the first one.
Really?
I haven't.
I have. It was cute. It wasn't blockbuster, but it was cute. I thought there was some problems with the story that made it have that really, you know, fun kind of satisfaction at the end. But
okay.
I must admit, when I saw the trailer to this one, I was going in a little bit cynical because of the first one, and I saw the trailer, and I was just giggling. It's like, I got to see this.
Oh, awesome. See, this is good news. I think Dan has seen the original, and it's just not something that I ever had any interest in. So
yeah, it's, you know, like if you have nothing else to watch, it's a perfectly fine little movie, and especially if you have kids, like it's one of those kids and adults things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not... It's not like up there with some of the greats.
But all the voice cast is back. Steve Carell is back. Kristen Wiig is back. Benjamin Bratt and Miranda Cosgrove. Oh,
and the character that Wiig is voicing just looks hilarious.
Oh, she plays the woman, right?
Yeah.
Yes. The trailer looks
lipstick very, taser.
Yeah, the trailer. I did giggle at the trailer. I may have to see this one at some point.
Yeah, make it into an adult live-action film kind of thing, and I'd probably be down with it.
Because it's Minions, right?
Yeah, I like Minions, and I like Evil Bastards, and I like that kind of world. I just don't like it in children land. Aww. You know, my anti-anything children.
Also opening on July 5th, Kevin Hart, Let Me Explain. And it's just a comedy, documentary, stand-up thing.
Yeah.
If you like Kevin Hart, you're going to enjoy it.
I don't get it.
You don't like Kevin Hart, you're probably not going to care. Also opening on the 5th, The Way, Way Back. This one picked up quite a bit of attention. I think it was at Sundance that it premiered.
The trailer looks great.
The trailer does look great.
I want to see this one.
Well, it's funny because I saw this trailer and I thought, I think this was the one where I thought, holy crap, when did Steve Carell get hot?
Yeah, okay. I can vaguely
like, seriously,
see it.
When did this happen?
Yeah.
It's the whole scruffy thing. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
There's just something.
I'm again, not necessarily all that fond of coming-of-age films and such, but this one actually looked like there's some decent substance to it.
It reminds me a little bit of, and I don't know why, but of, oh my God, no, I forgot. The one with Kristen Stewart. Where they work at the
Adventureland. Yeah,
it kind of has a similar feel for me.
Yeah, there's more going on than just hijinks.
Yeah,
was Adventureland Kristen Stewart really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Wow.
Well, let's just say the role required her to basically stand around, kind of thing, blank faced a lot, and deliver monotone sort of lines. But like the other guy was pretty good.
Yes. Okay.
So I'm sorry, I'm not a big fan. I never.
My favorite role for Kristen Stewart was Joan Jett in The Runaways.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
I can go with that.
Kristen Stewart is not in this movie, though.
No, she's not. I just mentioned it because it has a similar vibe for me. When I was watching the trailer, I sort of had that same sort of feeling.
But on the subject of casting, it struck me that they got of the character actors, they got the A-list of the character actors. Not that they're all A-list actors, mm-hmm. but like Allison Janney and Toni Collette. And, I mean, they just got some really great talent in there.
Yes, they do.
It's that whole sort of like the kid who just does not fit in with kids his own age, somehow being sort of semi-adopted by mm-hmm. older kids that probably were in the exact same scenario 10 years earlier.
Yeah.
And just sort of like allowed to be different with them kind of thing. You know, I kind of like that. The original Meatballs, where that one kid that just did not fit in that ended up hanging around with Bill Murray a lot. I kind of got that kind of vibe from it.
Oh, yeah. That's an excellent point.
The other thing I got from the trailer was there was an honesty there. Like, the kids didn't seem too sophisticated. They seemed like a little bit more genuine to the kid experience, not what some script writer... I mean, it's still what some script writer thinks the kid's going to behave like. But
it feels more authentic than, you know.
Well, to me anyway.
Yeah. I think it looks great. I may have to see it just for Steve Carell.
I may see it in the theater even.
I maybe won't go that far.
It depends if it hits
Pit Meadows. Yes, it's true. It's true. Moving on to July 12th, the next of the big blockbusters.
I know, by the way, robots.
Yes. Giant robots fighting giant monsters in Pacific Rim. Our listeners can't hear that.
Three Gravol movie.
Yeah, you know what?
Oh, I think it's going to be a box of Gravol movie.
This is the sad thing for me. This is my film. Like, probably this whole summer, the whole monsters versus robots destroying cities. My God, how much do I love Godzilla?
Like, yes.
I should love this. I should be absolutely over the moon about this. But the whole fact that this is in 3D means I will never be able to watch this film. And one of the biggest monster fans out there.
I'm sure you'll have the chance to see it in non-3D.
You know what? Maybe. But
guaranteed.
Now I'm going to have to hunt down a theater.
That might be more difficult.
And it's sort of like it takes away the whole experience if I'm trying that hard to find a theater to see it.
Yeah.
And I'll probably end up seeing it. Like, either bootlegs or whatever kind of thing, or if it ever makes a Netflix. And I'm going to have to watch it in 37 parts because of the visual thing.
Yeah.
Like, for the love of God, stop with the fucking 3D. Pardon my language.
Thank you. I second that.
Yeah. Third.
No. So, Del Toro directs this. I think it's going to be epic greatness. I'm sorry. Idris Elba screaming, "We are canceling the apocalypse," has got to be the greatest line of the summer. That line just, I can't believe they put that in the trailer. That is such a great line. I love it. I mean, really, what else can you say? It's giant robots fighting giant monsters.
I know nothing about the story, but like you said.
There is no story. That is the story.
Plus, it's Del Toro. Generally speaking, I like him.
Yeah. Well, he shoots action that you can follow.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not like 500 cuts a second.
And not Transformer-like?
It's not Transformer-like, which is a great bonus if you actually like want to see the action. Charlie Hunnam is in it.
You want the damn director to do his goddamn job instead of getting lazy ass and just, well, we'll just cut some stuff together.
Like, yeah, we'll do it in post.
Michael Bay, more bigger explosion.
Yes.
Well, not just
what are we going to blow up this time?
I'm still okay with kind of the more bigger explosions. But
Dale's getting very excited.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I love the bigger explosions.
It's when you just, you know, don't have a game plan for shooting it to actually tell us the story.
Yes, that's problematic.
Like, that's your job. Do it.
Yeah.
You know,
pretty much.
If it's just about the explosions, I can go to work and actually get paid to watch explosions all day long.
Ship blow up.
I know. You need to have the story with the explosions, the really big honking explosions.
Yes. Hopefully there will be some great ones. I'm definitely excited. Also opening July 12th, Counter-Programming at its best. Grown Ups 2. I have no words. This exists.
That is all. I watched Grown Ups.
So did I.
It was
Dan,
cute.
It was Dan forced me.
It was cute. Maybe okay, so maybe this is like maybe a guy's thing or something, but
maybe.
It was kind of endearing. I mean, it was not a movie. I'm glad I didn't see it in the theaters, but it was kind of endearing. And this one looks like it might actually be in the same vein, so I'm not going to go see it in the theaters, but I'm going to see it at some point.
Dan will force me. He will tie me to the chair.
You mean Clockwork Orange with the little yes. like metal straps yes. keeping your eyes open?
Yeah, we hide nice. Those in the closet when, you know, people come over.
Oh, kinky. All right. I'm not going to probably see this. If it came on Netflix, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. One of those moods.
I know the feeling. It'd be like background. I wouldn't yeah. be focused on it anyway.
Yes. Worth noting, Patrick Schwarzenegger is in this.
Wait.
Okay. It's just totally random. I was looking at the cast and like, there's a Schwarzenegger in this movie? There's also another Slade in this movie. Or Sandler. Sorry. I think it's Sandler.
Yeah. Sandler has a kid, I think.
Yeah. So there you go.
There's someone who isn't in this movie, but that's okay.
Oh, who's that?
God, I can't remember his name. I can just see his face. Oh, Rob.
Rob Schneider?
Schneider.
It's probably for the better.
Yeah. Yeah, his was the character that worked the least for me.
Yeah, so it's probably good that he's gone. Also opening on the 12th, Fruitvale Station. This is... it's kind of great that we're getting to see this because I didn't think we would have the chance to. Big winner at Sundance. Debut film, apparently very, very memorable, by Ryan Coogler, about a 22-year-old who, it's basically his experience during New Year's Eve in 2008.
You know what? I know nothing about this story. It somehow has passed right by me, so I know nothing of this. This trailer is brilliantly shot.
It's awesome,
makes me want to watch this. I yep. need to know what is going down because yep. how they film that, it kept me just interested enough going along until finally, what the hell? What is going on?
What just happened?
That's brilliant. Yeah. I love that.
It's a really well put together trailer, and the movie is apparently quite good. So.
Good.
Yeah, didn't catch me.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's certainly one that I'm very, very curious to check out. I hope it opens here.
The whole part where... You see the people inside the train
yes.
looking out, and they're like, all of a sudden, what the? Like, you can see yeah. the facial expressions as they start yelling.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'll agree with you. The trailer was very well done. Yeah. yeah.
Very, very well put together. Also opening on the 12th, The Hunt, Thomas Vinterberg's film from last year. Thomas Vinterberg's brilliant film from last year. Did you see this at VIFF?
I did not. But you know what? The trailer makes me both want to see it and both want to hide my head under a pillow and not see it at the same time.
Oh, me too. Me too.
You want to see it.
It looks spectacular, and God knows I love Mads, but it just looks like such an uncomfortable film.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It is. It's very uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
And it's really, really good. And it's very European. I don't know how else to describe it. Just the way that it ends, it comes to a conclusion, but it leaves, so it concludes and you feel satisfied, but it leaves the door open for so many interpretations.
Nice.
It's very, very good. Very, very good. And Mads is obviously fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to share our Mads love with the rest of the universe now.
Of course. I love Mads.
Yeah, but you and now like millions of other female fans that have now discovered him. It's kind of creepy, I must say.
It's true.
They've discovered him through Hannibal. He plays a cannibal. Honestly, that's not creepy. It's a little creepy.
I haven't seen Hannibal, so my love is pure.
Yeah, our love is pure. It's true. But it's kind of awesome because my Tumblr has sort of been taken over by Hannibal. And the fans are actually going out and watching other stuff. And that's kind of awesome.
That's
really
awesome because he has a good catalog of films.
Yeah, he does. And and he's worked with some amazing directors. So mm-hmm. the fact that they're like expanding their horizons is kind of great because you don't always get that in fandoms. So go Mads fans. We should really come up with a name for them. Okay.
Maddiax?
Maddiax. That might work.
I'm Maddiax. I'm crazy to the max.
Okay, see, that kind of works. That kind of totally works. Colleen is looking around.
No, it triggered something in my head, and I can't quite put my fingers on it. It was a bizarre Canadian kid show about this weird family, and like Eugene Levy is one of the voice actors, and
oh, I totally don't know this.
Something mean Maniac Mansion. Maniac Mansion.
I never watched it.
I remember
it.
The name.
Maniac Mansion. Yeah. No, it's
okay, quality. We're gonna wait. You guys keep talking. I have to write this down.
It's relatively recent. It's not like a childhood memory. This was probably from my maybe late 20s, early 30s. And it was Canadian.
I remember
film.
Like channel surfing in the morning, and it's just like, oh, not this one.
It's a cartoon?
No, it's
live action.
Live action. And it kind of reminds me of like a modern sort of like Munsters or something like that. It was just a dysfunctional family full of people who would normally be freaks.
Yeah. Interesting.
I like it.
Excellent. We'll wrap up this
Anyways.
Week. Moving on from Maniac Mansion, which we will link to finishing off July 12th with VHS 2, which is already playing on video on demand. And I haven't seen this yet, but I can say that the trailer interests me more than the entire VHS, the first one.
Shouldn't be hard.
Yeah, it was really shitty.
I couldn't make it through the film. I got maybe 20 minutes in, I'm like, I'm done. Yeah. I am so done with this.
Yeah. It was like the ABCs of death for me. I think I made it through to the letter. I think I went through to E or F. I can't remember.
So the first film was the same kind of thing. They find a whole bunch of VHS cassette tapes and
yeah,
try to piece together a story.
I can't remember the exact setup. It was kind of convoluted. Some kids break into a house or something, and they find a stack of VHS tapes, and they start putting them in. And
in like the order.
And the movies get weirder. Like the videos on the tape get weirder as they go on. And it was just not very good. Mm. Like there were a couple of like moments that were okay, but the overall was just
bleh. And now we have two private eyes.
Yeah. So I don't even know what the setup is here. To me, it's just another,
yeah,
like another
thin excuse for Havoc.
Exactly. But I must say the Havoc in this one looks way better. Way better.
It's funny you say ABCs of death. I had to laugh because Andrew Mack from Twitch Films posted a picture on Facebook of him with a snifter of brandy, a big pipe in his mouth, and he's reading a copy of ABCs of death. I had to laugh. I have to find it for you. You should put it as the cover for this podcast.
I could go with that. Yeah. You find it. I will use it.
I just found it very amusing. He looked like a Bob from the religion of the Discordians with his pipe and everything. One eyebrow raised, going, ABCs of death, you say?
Oh, yeah, you find it. We'll use it. We'll link to it.
Back on track.
Yeah, so just a collection of directors putting together some horror shorts. Includes Jason Eisner, the awesome Jason Eisner.
True enough.
And Gareth Evans is the and Eduardo Sanchez, one half of the Blair Witch team. So I don't know. The trailer I thought looked really great. This may be one of those. The sequel is better than the original. Fingers crossed.
Cool.
Fingers crossed. Moving on. July 12th. Red 2.
Yes.
I love Helen Mirren.
Yes.
I saw an interview with her the other day. They were asking her where she gets her inspiration. And she said, now I cannot remember her name.
Margaret Thatcher?
No. the home. Martha Stewart.
Nice.
And I laughed uncontrollably.
Clearly Martha Stewart. Yeah. Especially like her introductory scene in Red's the first one.
Oh, man. The Red was actually quite a surprise for me because I wasn't expecting much, and I really enjoyed it. It was just kind of batshit fun. This one looks like it might be the same.
I hope. I mean, I wasn't... One of the fun things about the first one is they're all rusty and uninitiated, and you had the great Carl Urban as the opponent, right? So a hero is only as good as the villain.
Yep.
And in this one, with what we've seen, I'm seeing.
I don't even know who the villain is.
Great scenes. Yeah, we don't. I mean, we sort of do, but
I'm like,
I'm gonna go see it. I have my fingers crossed, but I'm not getting my expectations up too high just in case.
But everybody's back.
Everyone's back. And the chemistry. I mean, the chemistry between the cast is so good.
It is. It's awesome. It's one of the things that makes the movie so entertaining.
Yeah.
The first one. It's just like these people that you would never put together in an action movie
being
awesome together.
And the jealousy that...
Demi Moore and...
No, the one that plays Weeds. I can't remember her name.
Oh, yes. I know who you're talking about.
But her and... Wow.
I don't even know her name. Well, she's with Bruce Willis, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, okay, I just got to bring the names up because this is so pathetic. Mary Louise Parker and Catherine Zeta-Jones. That little bit of stuff going on in there looks like it could be fun, too.
Yeah. It certainly looks like it has its moments. I'm curious.
Yep.
I am more excited to watch the next one, though.
Oh, this one looks good, too. Another one based on a comic I've never heard of.
It's based on a comic
book? It's based on a comic book. I had to check. That
shouldn't surprise
me. It felt like it, so I checked, and it is.
Ripped.
This has one of the
scenes. With the dude.
One of the scenes in it is probably my happy thought for the year in this trailer of Jeff Bridges riding Reynolds.
Yes!
Slim Pickens style through a window to the ground. I'm like, yes!
When Dan and I watched that, because I hadn't seen this trailer yet, when it came up in the theater, Dan looked at me, I looked at him, and we laughed uncontrollably for the rest of the trailer. We went home and watched it again, because we didn't actually finish it. And I swear, nobody else knew why the hell we were laughing.
Jeff Bridges, Slim Pickens. So you go.
Gotta love it.
The story is that Jeff Bridges and Ryan Reynolds are police officers for heaven.
Pretty much.
Going after... dead people that don't want to stay dead.
Yep.
I got a whole Supernatural MIB
feeling
in it. Totally. Yeah, very good. Yeah, totally. Exactly.
Very much so.
Yeah.
It has the same exact feel. No aliens,
just Supernatural.
Supernatural. But I think my favorite idea here is that they don't look like they
did. Oh, that was so funny. Yeah.
Okay, that cracks that was me.
I'm so an funny. Old, short Asian dude.
What do you look like? And then they shoot back and it's like
a supermodel.
Super hot blonde. Oh man, yes, it looks funny.
I had never heard of her, so I looked her up, and she was voted on like some top 10 list for a magazine for most beautiful, something like that. So
well, she certainly looks hot.
Yeah,
and really, that's all they need her for.
In the movie, she looks hot. It's funny, her IMDb photo not so much, but
oh really? Yeah. Oops. You may want to get somebody to take a look at that for you. Moving on to July the 19th. Turbo! It's the Ryan Reynolds month, apparently.
Uh-huh.
So Turbo, about a snail that enters a race.
A snail gets super speed.
Sorry. Oh, okay. I thought you
that
were...
That wasn't commentary.
I was going to say, wow, was that your feeling on the trailer?
Well, Paul Giamatti is in this as a voice actor, but no, that isn't actually a reflection.
But so was Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson.
I know. I hope they say motherfucker a lot, but considering it's a cartoon, probably not.
So this one gave me a Cars vibe.
Yeah, and I didn't like Cars.
Yeah, I the first one was okay. Didn't even bother with the second.
I didn't care for either.
I'm not going to bother with this. I mean, this looks great for the kids. It's got, but yeah, no.
There's a screening coming up, and I said to Dan, do you want to go see this? And he's like, I don't know.
That's the answer.
Yeah. No. Exactly. So I'm wondering if I could drag a kid with me. If anybody knows any kids that want to go, I have an extra ticket.
Kidnap them from Kamloops and drive them down.
A big kid. Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk. Also opening July the 19th, probably one of the movies I'm most looking forward to this month, surprisingly, is The Conjuring.
Really?
Yeah. James Wan's horror thriller about paranormal investigators investigating a haunted house. I think the thing that caught me about this trailer was the setting, because it's set in the 70s, mm-hmm. which automatically gives it, for me at least,
creepy vibe.
Yeah, it's just slightly more interesting than something that happened yesterday kind of thing. I like that aesthetic a lot more. And the early reviews of this have been ridiculously good.
Wow.
We posted one at Quiet Earth the other day. The movie played at the Edinburgh. I can't say that word
Edinburgh?
Today. Thank you. International Film Festival. And our reviewer loved it. Said it was a huge surprise. And the trailer suggested really good things. I was really hoping to hear good things. So I'm totally game. I can't wait.
Not my cup of tea.
Really? I've never really been a big paranormal sort of like bump in the night fan.
Yeah,
serial killer maybe, but
yeah, and I tend to stay away from these because they don't generally work for me. But I don't know, something about the trailer for this one kind of was dealing in my sort of
not your typical cast either.
No, well, Patrick Wilson worked with. I think he and James Wan must have a good working relationship because he was in. Was he in Insidious? Maybe he wasn't. Now I don't know, but he's sort of been typecast in these sort of father roles in horror movies because he's been in a couple of them already. But the rest of this cast is great too. Ron Livingston's in it. I got to look at my list. Vera Farmiga and Lily Taylor, and then all the kids, right?
Yeah.
So I really liked the trailer. I thought it looked really good. And obviously the studio must be happy. They've given him the, surprisingly, they gave him the reins on Fast and Furious 7. I thought that was a joke. I really thought it was a joke, but apparently it's not. So go figure. Also opening July the 19th, Girl Most Likely.
Oh, Kristen Wiig. How can you not want to see this?
I know, right? She's really great. And it comes from the directors of The Nanny Diaries and American Splendor, two movies that I have quite enjoyed. And I like this cast. I mean, yeah, Kristen Wiig and Annette Bening playing her mother.
Yeah, so...
So she plays a playwright
who's had kind of a mental breakdown.
Pretty much
has to go live with her negligent mother.
Yeah, which that right there is like a recipe for craziness, crazy antics. And yeah, Kristen Wiig and Annette Bening together is going to be
the
great.
The chemistry looks really good.
I agree. I really like Annette Bening. She doesn't.
Yeah.
She's not in as many movies as she used to be, which kind of sucks. But I like her in these roles. Any thoughts, Leany?
I'm not going to rush out to the theater to see it. It doesn't look bad. Just doesn't really compel me much.
Doesn't
if it was on Netflix,
buttons.
I'd almost assuredly see it. But
yeah. Okay, how about Only God Forgives?
Looks awesome, but you know what? I long for Ryan Gosling to do a goofy comedy.
Probably, I hope it happens soon.
I know.
Because he's really good at goofy comedy.
I know, but he's been spending so much time in sort of like the darker areas. And he does it well. I'll give it to him, but I don't want him to become Jason Statham where I do cop bank robber chase films.
I should send you a link to a great interview with Jason Statham, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm glad he gets
employment. Don't get me wrong.
But. Yeah, I'll link to it in the show notes. There's a really great interview. We're totally off track, but there's a really great interview with him on the Empire podcast. And he talks a little bit about why he does films in the UK. And it's because he can get jobs that actually require him to act and not just be an action star. And he likes to try his hands at different things. And it's just really interesting to hear him talk because he's a guy that came into this totally by accident and really late in his career, like really late in his life. Like he was already in his 30s when he got his first acting gig. It was never going to be his job. So it's just really interesting to hear him talk about that. He certainly doesn't sound like he's ungrateful for the opportunities that he gets in Hollywood, but you can tell that he certainly likes to try different things and to actually act, and he's just not really given the opportunity to.
Yeah.
So I'll link to it. It's a really great listen, but sorry, I totally sidetracked that conversation.
Well, no, I sidetracked the Ryan Gosling thing. So you sidetracked the sidetrack.
No, I don't think that was a sidetrack.
It was a little bit.
I agree with you. Like when I was watching the trailer and reading the description, it's just like, I'm not interested at all. And then I saw Gosling and I thought, well, he generally like picks good projects. But
yeah, I think it's the directors that he's been working with lately. They're all very sort of heavy, like dramatic, very. And it's interesting because Dennis, is it LeFrancine, whatever his name is, the guy that did the Place Beyond the Pines, and Blue Valentine, he has a very interesting aesthetic on an idea of the male. And Nicholas Winding Refn has his own version of the male aesthetic. And it has more of a touch of a feminine, but really violent. And they're both so kind of depressing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he kind of feels like he's being typecast as this sort of overtly male. Oh, yeah,
I still want to see it because I love Ryan Gosling. I just really want to see something a little bit lighter.
It would be nice.
The project, yeah.
Oh, what? So you want another romance?
I hate to use the word romance. I don't know. Something... something good, but not so freaking depressing.
It's true. It's true. I agree. But I am still very excited because I will watch anything that director does. Opening the final week of the month, the big one, The Wolverine. Crickets.
Interest at all.
I'm sad to say I think this is going to set a trend. This movie versus the last Wolverine movie. This one looks like it might have more action than the last Wolverine movie, but it still looks like kind of a snore fest.
Dan said the same thing about the trailer. He saw the trailer the other day and he's like, oh, it looks lame. Like, I think it looks pretty good. Am I like totally like off track here? I don't know.
Generally speaking, so dumb with the superhero films. I just have completely lost interest. I just don't care.
Well, yeah. There's that.
Yeah. It's the same old, okay, they're telling another story with the same guy who has adamantium claws that break through his skin.
Let's take away his superpowers and see how he does as a human. Yeah. And I just didn't... yeah.
I think that the sigh there just kind of... It encapsulated the entire thing. It's tiring.
I don't know. I watched it and I felt tired when watching.
Wow. That doesn't bode well. No. I guess I might be on my own with this one.
Maybe.
I don't know. I think it looks pretty good. I mean, I didn't see the full Wolverine Origins one that they did.
I think part of it is that most of the superhero stories we're all so freaking familiar with. And it's just another spin on the same story. Over and over again, and even if it's a brand new franchise, it's the same story.
Yeah, the essentials are the same. It's just a
different spin on the same.
Like the last really good. Well, Avengers was good, but X-Men First Class.
Yes,
they had great actors and they had a great origin story, and that was a really. I mean, I had so much fun with it. It wasn't until like a week later that I started to realize what a thoughtful script that was because. Fassbender was totally bringing me over to Magneto's side, and I had never done that before. Mm-hmm. But he totally, you know, like had that side of the argument, like he was so the hero of his own story, and I hardly ever see that, and I don't really see that here. I see a whole lot of action, and what little dialogue there was and story there was just a thin envelope to do the action.
I agree.
It's like we've seen all of this stuff before. Like I've seen these big massive fights before and it's like it's not new anymore. So
it's true.
You'd better give me at least a little bit of a story to layer on top of.
Well, and you bring up a really excellent point. I think we tend to overlook, and I don't know why, but Singer has a really great grasp of like I think you nailed it when you said that, you know, Magneto sort of slowly brought you to his side, because that is probably the best of the superhero movies kind of set in a reality, like a real world sort of feeling, but it's not obvious, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's not over your head. It's not Batman or The Dark Knight or whatever.
Oh yeah. Pick your,
pick whatever franchise you want.
I mean, we were talking about the other night with the Avengers, right? It's just like, well, let's hit you over the head with 9/11 a little bit.
All the movies seem to be borrowing on that now. So, I mean, that's kind of...
I just want something completely different. Like, when Hellboy came out.
Yeah.
Hellboy is very different than most of the...
Yep.
Just by the very nature of him being a perma-freak and there's no way around it. Mm. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's okay. Some guy's a superhero.
I love completely different, but I am the first one to be happy with a formula... flick,
yeah, as if long, it's I mean, as, well done. Yeah, and I'm totally with you. As long as you can pull it off and entertain me along the way, I don't care. I mean, you can give me the same movie I watched yesterday. Just, you know, put it together differently. It doesn't matter.
I'd rather just watch the picture I loved again than see someone rehash it over and over. Oh, another rehash of the same thing.
Yeah, see, you and Dan are in the same boat. And I'm okay with the rehash as long as it's well done. This one, I don't think it'll be particularly well done, but I like the Asian aesthetic. And I think that's what's sort of pulling me in.
It's really hard to say from the trailer. I mean, with this one, I'll wait and see what kind of the buzz is and what the comments are.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think this is kind of like their last go at it, because if they can't get this one right, I don't think we're going to get to see any more Wolverine movies. I don't know who would want to be honest. He's just not that interesting of a character to me.
I would disagree, but writing, this is the problem, right? Writing for really strong superheroes is hard because you need to have conflict. And if they're too powerful, you don't have the conflict.
I think what doesn't help is the fact that we've already seen him in, what, like 4 movies now?
Yeah.
The
thing with Wolverine, if you have a really strong character, it's the internal conflict that becomes interesting because there's hardly any external conflict.
But the entire last X-Men movie about Wolverine?
And it wasn't very well written.
No, and neither was the last one. So we've had 2 Wolverine movies that sucked.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
We're going for 3. Yeah, Marvel. also opening on July the 26th, the movie I will be seeing in theaters.
To-do
list. Yes, I think this looks awesome. And I think it looks awesome for 2 reasons. It's directed by a woman, and it stars Aubrey Plaza, who is really, really funny. I quite like her. And it's, about a girl who has a list of things to do before she goes to college.
It's a coming of age, only with the emphasis on sexuality.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I am more than okay with that. I don't know why, but I am. It looks funny.
The sexuality part was interesting, although I think there's more opportunity to really go off the rails, make the movie that you thought you were making, but
yeah,
I guess the whole, like, I was somewhat interested in this, but I wasn't like completely drawn in. I can't really tell you why.
Just didn't really work for you.
I just seemed like super self-conscious. The writing, which, I mean, again, trailer, who knows?
Exactly. I don't know. I'm really kind of sold on Aubrey Plaza. I'm just waiting for that one role that really
works
for her.
I'm just not sold on it all that much. Like, the trailer, like the scene where she dives off the diving board or the slide or whatever, and her top is down and she doesn't realize it, and they're like, maybe you should pull your top back up. Oh, the horror. Like, I'm like, really? This is what is this film is. Really?
That's kind of what I meant about you might not be making the film you think you're making.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a good sight gag, maybe, kind of, I guess. I don't know. Where are you going with this? I don't care.
I think I'm giving it a lot of leeway.
Maybe.
No. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I am, because I really do like her, and I'm hoping for the best, but I don't know. I think it looks funny. I cringe. and we'll finish off the month with Blue Jasmine, Woody Allen's new movie. This time he brings Cate Blanchett on board. A woman having a midlife crisis. Reconnects with her sister. She's rich. Her sister isn't. Shit happens.
I like Alec Baldwin. I can't help it. I kind of wish I didn't. I do.
I love Cate Blanchett.
Me too.
Yeah, so I'll watch it. I really do like this trailer. I like the idea that she's like this spoiled rich woman who is now brought down a couple of notches and ended up living with her sister in the dumps, essentially. I don't know. I think there's some good comedy to be had there. And I've never seen Cate Blanchett in a comedy, ever.
Oh,
I don't think.
I have early on. I'm trying to remember. She did one with Billy Bob Thornton,
which I don't think I saw.
And there was, I can't think of it. There was one other one that I'm vaguely, and I mean, it was at the beginning, like almost at the beginning of her career. And then she got a little bit more dramatic and Elizabeth came along and.
Yeah,
her career went on that trajectory.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all I've seen her in really is dramas. So I'm kind of excited to see it. I mean, mind you, it looks like she's playing like straight man to everything that's happening. But I don't know. I'm really looking forward to it.
She's not being funny. She's just being put in absurd situations how her reaction, which might be perfectly valid or that,
but then that
comes across as messed up.
You know, that's Woody Allen, right?
Yeah.
You don't have overt jokes.
No.
So, I mean, acting the comedy becomes even more challenging.
I'm really looking forward to, I've enjoyed Woody Allen's movies the last couple of years, so I'm really looking forward to this one. I really want to see Cate Blanchett spew out Woody Allen. you don't get a whole lot of that in the trailer, and I'm just hoping that it's going to be awesome.
Awesome.
Excellent.
I think it was called Bandits.
Oh, yeah, I did not see
and that. And arguably Pushing Tin. She was in Pushing Tin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, shit. That's right.
Holy crap, that was that's way the Billy back. Bob.
That was with John Cusack, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Bandits might have been... What was in Bandits? Oh, that was Bruce Willis and Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, wow. That, wow.
Yeah, I think Pushing Tin might have been the last time I really saw John Cusack that was really baby-faced and not scrubby other than maybe Hot Tub Time Machine.
Nice. I hope the sequel goes through. Make it happen, people. Make it happen. Vancouver happenings for July. Lots of good stuff coming up at the Cinematheque. They've got the return of Studio Ghibli. Did so well on the first run that they've brought it back. All the regulars are here. And their Cinema Sunday for this month is The Last Starfighter.
Oh, I might have to see that on the big screen.
I'll go with you.
I love, well, it's showing its age now, but.
It is, but it's still really awesome.
Yeah.
Dan and I watched it for the first time, kind of around the same time we watched, the one where, the dude, he's an alien. Is it Starchild?
Oh, yeah.
Starman?
Starman.
I watched them about the same time. Starman was super creepy. I still argue that movie is really...
Starman didn't... Yeah.
It's really creepy. Like, seriously, but whatever. But I watched them about the same time, and I couldn't believe how awesome The Last Starfighter was, and I'd never seen it before. It's another one of these lost 80s things that just bypassed Marina. So, yeah, I'd go with you. So that's playing July 21st at 1 p.m. at the Cinematheque. All ages welcome. So that should be fun. The Van City Theater has a huge assortment of great stuff coming up. They're doing Copacabana Social Club. They've got a number of documentaries on Brazilian music from mostly the 60s and 70s. Some great stuff there, including Tropicália, which is a really great-looking documentary. Hannah Arendt, I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it. I don't actually know. Biopic about the... I guess she's a philosopher, right?
I have never heard of her before.
Oh, she did Atlas Shrugged, I think.
No, that she was... She wrote... Wasn't Ayn Rand did Atlas Shrugged.
Isn't this the same woman? I could be totally off. Dale looks that up. And that's screening the 28th to the 11th. I could be wrong. I know that she's... When I looked her up, she's a German philosopher.
German-American political theorist.
Thank you. She wrote a book. I vaguely remember. Maybe more than one. I could be totally confusing the two, which is quite likely. I read a lot of Wikipedia, and it doesn't always stay in its own little compartment. Things kind of get meshed together.
Yeah, she wrote like 4 or 5 or 6 books.
Okay. Well, there's a biopic about her. It's supposed to be quite good. I've put it on my calendar of things to watch. We'll see if I actually get there or not. One of the festival favorites from last year, Museum Hours.
Yeah.
Did you see this one?
I did not see it. It was on my list, and it just fell off.
Yeah, and the reviews have been very, very positive. It's only playing... I was going to say one night, but it's not. It's playing for a couple of days, July 12th to the 18th. Another one that's worth checking out. I highly recommend The History of Future Folk. Did you get to watch this at the Rio Grande last year?
No, that was the one that one of the ones I missed. Yeah,
Really awesome. Playing for 2 nights. It's like the ads are actually quite good. It's like the best science fiction musical comedy blah 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 you've ever seen, and it really is. It's really sweet and really low budget, and looks really amazing, and the music is great. I highly recommend it. We'll link to a couple of... I think Jandy reviewed it. There's a couple of reviews floating around the site. Highly recommend it if you haven't seen it yet. Also, screening for a couple of nights, 2 cuts of Joshua Oppenheimer's The Act of Killing. This is the documentary where Oppenheimer went up to a number of... I think it's Filipino or something... dictators or generals or something, and ask them to basically film the mass murders that they committed in like a movie.
Whoa.
And it's like this weird fucked up like dream like sequence thing. It's bizarre. It's and really, really disturbing. And they have two cuts. There's a director's cut and there's a theatrical cut. They're screening both of them separately, so you can choose whichever you want to watch. The director's cut has an extra 40 minutes of footage.
Wow.
It's really long. It's like 2 hours and some odd. It's quite extensive. Also playing, and I may have to go and see this, even though I've already seen it like three times, Sightseers. Ben Wheatley's comedy about traveling through the British countryside and committing murder along the way. It's like the two most inept serial killers ever. It's just... Have you guys seen this trailer?
No.
Okay, we're going to watch this trailer afterwards. This movie is so awesome. I watched it, and then I watched it with Dan, and then I watched it a second time with Dan. Because we just laughed so uncontrollably. It's so good. Cannot recommend it enough. And also, they're hosting the International Buddhist Film Festival. And part of that, they're screening Samsara on the big screen. I may have to make that trip. Because that movie is so awesome. Mm-hmm. And it'd be great to see it on the big screen again. And we'll just wrap up. The Rio Theater is running their usual 11:30 or 11 o'clock midnight movies, I guess they call them, once a week. And this month's lineup is quite good. Meatballs.
I may have to go see Meatballs on the big screen.
Jaws. Jaws is actually a 7 o'clock screening on like a Wednesday.
I've seen it on the big screen. Terrified me.
I haven't. So I may have to drag Dan.
I'll never watch that again, man.
Dan is still afraid of swimming in
damn straight
in the ocean,
and for good reason.
Yeah, this is what happens when you watch horror movies at the age of six.
Exactly.
Yeah,
traumatized for life.
Jaws. I probably was eight. After that, I have no interest in non-lake water at all.
Can't say I blame you. You know, I did. I saw Orca before I saw Jaws. It's just the weirdness of my life. I saw Orca before I saw Jaws, and Orca terrified me. I can't look at a nice killer whale.
They're killing machines.
That, in my mind, they are.
Yeah,
they totally have their name
for a reason.
Yeah. Also screening Raiders of the Lost Ark, and they're wrapping up the month with Starship Troopers.
How I want adaptation to come back. God, I want to see that again.
That was so messed up.
That's the best film I've ever seen.
Okay.
Well, maybe not the best, but damn it. It is one of the best films ever. I love that. Oh, 12-year-old OCDs, and we're going to make this film if it kills you all.
I think there's a DVD around. I think they released a Blu-ray.
No way. Yeah, Spielberg finally gave them...
Well, it's officially sanctioned by Spielberg now. I'll double check, because I'm fairly certain that when they released the book... It was in conjunction with a DVD release.
Yes.
Oh, I think I'm thinking of a different movie.
Oh, Raiders the Adaptation?
Oh, okay. Raiders the Adaptation. Sorry, I was thinking of Adaptation.
Adaptation the movie?
No. This is the 12-year-olds redoing Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Damn, it's pretty awesome. I'll check it out. We'll have to look if we can find it. Having
that
dog
on someone's shoulder to simulate the monkey? Come on. That was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, so kids with OCD, exactly.
That's right. Let's just pour isopropanol all over the basement of the house and set it on fire.
Yes, the stories that they told after the screening were almost better than the movie.
We ran out of isopropanol, so I soaked the kid in gasoline and set him on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
We built The Rock in my house, and it took weeks, and it was perfect, and it was huge, and we all looked out. At each other and how do we get it out of my bedroom?
Yes, there's actually a book about I don't know if it's about the making of. I haven't finished the entire thing, but it kind of reads like, you know, it's written by the guys that directed it.
Yeah.
And it's basically a retelling of It's part retelling of how they made the movie, and then part retelling the experience of now having it come out and all of the fanfare that's come with it. It's a really great read. I think it's called Raiders the Adaptation.
Yeah.
I'll put a link to the Amazon page for it. It's pretty awesome.
That deserves all the plug I can freaking throw out there. I love those guys.
Awesome.
Crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah, and like you say, the tales afterwards.
Well, yeah.
Like the whole kissing scene is like the friends knowing that he had a total crush on the Marion character is like, oh yeah, no, didn't get it. Cut, do it again. Do it again. Do it again.
kids, right? Kids. It's really awesome. I really enjoyed that. And it was a really great screening. Great energy. Everybody was thrilled to be there. It was great.
And you know what? It was one showing. They should have like booked it the whole day, and they
done a couple of screenings. Out, yeah. That's it for July. It's not actually quite as packed as I thought it would be.
No, there's not a lot of movies.
I think because there was almost like a juggernaut on each week.
Yeah.
No one wants to release anything.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess it certainly doesn't help that I'm not really interested in all of them. So it doesn't feel like I'm going to be running to the movies every weekend. Which is kind of nice. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Went from meow to meow. I love it. Meow. Oh my god. Oh, apparently the heat. Oh god. The heat is really getting to us apparently.
I think so.
Wow. I was gonna sidetrack us, but maybe not.
There you go.
Okay, I think that's it.
That's
very reluctant.
Can we drag that from July. Our childhood?
Where the hell did June go?
Yeah, well, pretty much. Yeah. I'm still trying to catch up on June.
There you go.
Well, I started seeing emails the other day for stuff opening in August. I'm like, I don't know where June went, and July isn't here yet. Leave me alone.
Yeah,
and I'm busy at the end of June, July, so we have to get our butts together to do an August show before then.
Oh God!
And you're gone too.
That's right.
Oh yeah, you're gonna have Comic-Con adventures when you come back.
I will.
That is awesome. It is. Take your camera. We want video.
Yeah, compare. You do the Comic-Con, and I'll do the freak show that is RollerCon, and then we can compare notes.
I feel totally left out of the whole thing.
I bet you'll have more fun.
I don't know about that.
I volunteered to work it. I'm working every day, morning shift.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
Actually, I was on mom duty. I signed up for mom duty, which is basically me tidying up places and making sure everything's running in the classrooms accordingly. So I didn't have to deal with many people. They canceled that job and they put me in what's called DIX, which is like standing in front of a door, double checking passes, which means I have to interact with everyone who's entering into the place. I'm like, yeah, no.
better give me another job if you don't want anybody dead.
Yeah, so they put me in inventory control. So now I just have to like do logistics, like, you know, okay, they check that out, enter that. Yeah. So it should be good. No one should die.
Yeah, basically not communicating with people, right?
Was that the first person in my face going, what do you mean? I have my badge. I just don't have it here. I'm not going back there. I'm going past you. Yeah, I'm going to have to kill you now. I'm going to punch you in the larynx hard.
Oh god.
And then you'll wish you had gone back to your room to get your badge. Now
I'm really curious to hear about your Comic-Con adventures.
Yeah, that should be good.
That should be fun. But yeah, so that's it for this month. Be sure to come on by row3.com. Check out links to all of the trailers. We'll link to a couple of random things that we talked about today.
What, us off track? No.
Never. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with the August preview. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits. We'll be right back.
hang with my daughter no more. She's my cherry pie.
Okay, so are you going to do the live from Vancouver? Because that is awesome.
It's Saturday afternoon. And we don't have a backup band.
We can make one up. I really suck at backup music, yeah. So there we go.
Quick, the ukulele. Ding, 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 ding.
Where's the real ukulele is what I want to know. I know. Theme song. Hello.
Coming. Yes. We'll work on something.